Hello and welcome to the Empire Rails preview show in conjunction with the Reading Chronicle. I've been joined by Matt Joy to talk about our match that's coming up this weekend at Preston North End and also have a look back at the action during the week. So how are you doing, Matt?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, very well. Sun's out. Can't complain too much, all things considered. And obviously was perked up by a fantastic performance in the midweek as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that match against Coventry. A pretty convincing display there. Nervy 15 minutes, maybe the opening, but apart from that, really good.
Yeah, I think you summed up pretty perfectly there. I think John Swift was absolutely sublime all night. Obviously got subbed off later on, but that assist for the first goal, you would probably be talking about that now if it wasn't for the free kick in the second half. It was that the assist was that good that it would be worth discussing on its own, but obviously it was overshadowed in the best way possible with one of the best goals that I can remember seeing in the flesh at the Medeski for a number of years. It's been one of the most frustrating things in my life was the Gareth McCleary volley against Burnley. I was actually looking at my phone, checking the scores when that went in. So I missed that one, but I did see the Swift one, and I think that's the best one I remember for a while. Now, it was, as you said, it was a pretty stellar performance all round, defensively really, really good. Thought McIntyre especially had a great game. It was pretty routine and comfortable in the end, given that Coventry went down to 10, but really just, you know, saw out well. Pretty much the perfect game. It would have been rounded off if Baldock had put that chance home, but such is life. 3-0, you can't complain.
Yeah, that free kick has got to be. I mean, it's ridiculously early, a contender for free kick of the year in the EFL Championship. I mean, I just couldn't believe he was actually going to shoot from there. I mean, he must have known he was coming off at that point. He thought, well, why not? Let's give it a go.
Yeah, so the mic drop moment, yeah, it was astounding. I mean, it was kind of one of those free kicks you think, he's not quite got the angle to cross it. He's a little bit far out to shoot. What's he going to do with it? But as you said, he just maybe had a thought of, why not? You know, why not give it a crack? Two goals to the good at that point. A man advantage. Perhaps it might not be one you'd try if you were 1-0 down with 5 minutes to go. Yeah. But he's certainly given something for Paunovic to think about in terms of his free kick takers, with obviously Elise and Ajari perhaps had been above him in the pecking order. Whether that may change in the coming weeks, we shall see.
Yeah, fine selection of free kick takers there. Can't speak there for a moment. Really kind of nice for us, because you've gone for so many years with set piece issues, and now it's take your pick, isn't it? I mean, it's Ajari set up ones, you've had Swift, Elise. I mean, I still think Elise is top, but I mean, what a great combination we've got there.
Yeah, I think you could definitely argue that Elise is top, but you think of some of the goals that Swift has scored. I remember one against, I think it was Birmingham in the Cup a few years back, another, you know, sublime effort into the top corner. It's as you said, it's a very nice problem to have, and the fact that that's what we're discussing is shows that the club are in a good place at the moment.
Yeah, totally. And Lucas Jow being Mr. Jow, as he was throughout the whole of the season, a fantastic finish and a brilliant assist, which obviously over Ajari definitely mean to dummy. I've been through this many times. It's kind of...
Yeah, I think
he's fantastic.
He must have had a shout from Rinomota running in behind. I think that's got to be the only excuse for it. Yeah, no. The first goal showed everything that I think we've said it numerous times on this pod, that it showed everything that's good about Lucas Jow. He had the intelligence to make the run, which he was doing all game. He was making some fantastic runs, all of them perfectly timed. Didn't always get picked out, but showed the intelligence to get into the position, the strength to hold off his man, and then the composure and the technical ability to finish it off. And then, as you said, the hold-up play for the assist, looked like he was going nowhere, but sort of had a sixth sense of, I've got a man or two in behind. And, you know, although Ajari did perhaps fluff his line somewhat, it was an inch-perfect pass to Ajari on the spin. So, yeah, I mean, he is just such a good player. I think you may have put it out on the Elm Park Rules, or it may have been another fan account, but I posed the question of he's the best striker since. I'm not sure if that was yourself or Talk Reading, but you look back and you think, this season especially, yeah, it's tough to sort of, in the Medeski era, could you argue that anyone's had a better campaign? Maybe Doyle in the 05-06 and Kitson and that sort of around that mark. But since then, I think for the last sort of 10 years or so, I've never gone to a game and thought, you know, you're expected a player to score as opposed to hope he would for a, to this extent for a long while.
Yeah, I think he's very similar to Kitson in many ways, yeah. but also better than Kitson in some ways, which is hard to believe. It's the consistency, though, and also Kitson did it in the Premier League, so let's not take that away. And,
yeah, very true.
So I do think that kind of like going into the next game, Panovic has got so many options there now, hasn't he? Unfortunately, Elise went down with an injury. How do you think that's going to work out for him? Didn't look too bad when he went. He sat in the stands, though.
No, I mean, we spoke to Panovic after the game and it was kind of mixed messages because he said it could be a long-term one, but he came off and it didn't look too bad. So it was kind of, it was you know, a bit of a tough one to kind of gauge where he was at. But at that point, we spoke to him kind of, it must have been about 20 minutes after the full-time whistle had gone. So he hadn't had the time to obviously get the feedback from the medical staff. And I think Elise was having a scan on Wednesday. So we should find out after, you know, speaking post-match, hopefully to Panovic tomorrow, a bit more about the extent of that injury. He said that may have an impact upon transfer plans. You know, it's thrown a bit of a spanner in the works. He did say that, or he alluded to, I asked him, you know, what are the numbers you're looking to get in and what areas you're looking to strengthen? And it was very much another man in defence and another man up top. Without Elise, it may be... he might prioritise a different area. I'm not sure whether that would be necessary, especially with Yaku Mate back soon, hopefully. It's a bit too early at the point of we're recording this to tell the extent of the injury, but fingers crossed it's not a long one because, you know, leading the assist charts in the Championship, that's not a man you want out for any length of time, really.
No, not at all. And he's looking... maybe he had a slightly quiet game against Coventry, but over the whole season, he's been fantastic. And no one can doubt that. Mm. I've seen quotes from Alex Neil saying already, the Preston North End manager, saying that our front four is as good as anything that you'll find in the Championship. I can't disagree with that. Can you, Matt?
No. Perhaps you look at maybe Brentford, maybe Norwich. But, you know, they've got real technical ability in the forward areas, and Bournemouth probably as well. You could throw into the mix.
I'd there with those though.
By all means, I don't think that. I think, you know, with a blue and white glasses on, you'd argue Reading, and I'm sure, you know, the respective supporters from those clubs would argue that they've got a bit more. But yeah, I think in Lucas Shaw, arguably, you've got the best striker in the Championship this season. And then I think that what you alluded to there, that Elise had a quiet game, the fact that someone who's got the most assists in, as I said, in the Championship this season can have a quiet game and others stepped up. I thought Ovi Ejaari was really, really good. Hit the post, obviously, perhaps could have slipped in, but slipped in Zhao, I think it was at the back post. But, you know, he was tracking. He really looked fired up for it. So the fact that you've got players now, as I said, Mate coming back, but you've got players now that can step up and fill that gap if someone has a quiet game is a really promising sign.
Yes, totally. I know Ejaari has had maybe a little bit of a quiet spell. I don't think he's been awful or anything. I think he's been simmering at sixes and sevens, which is, you know, fine. I don't think he's been anything below that. He will come good again. I have no doubt that. He's got too much ability. It just kind of, I see him and I see a player in transition. Maybe in 2 years' time, he'll reach that real height. And he learned from those little moments like the Jao. I mean, who can blame him for having him a shot there? He passes out to Jao and it's probably a goal. But then you look at the amazing footwork that he uses to get past him.
If that goes in, you know, that's going to be on highlight reels for months to come. Maybe he has been a bit quieter this year. I think at the start of the year, he was really good. He might have just dipped a little bit in recent weeks, but... or sort of over the last month or so. I think maybe a part of that might be down to the fact that given the injuries we had, it was pretty much a guaranteed start most weeks. He didn't have the pressure to perform. Now Swift's back. Aluko, I think, has been playing well in recent weeks. Yaku Mate coming back sooner rather than later. Perhaps that might incentivize him to kick on a little bit. As I said, I haven't seen, you know, any sort of distance covered stats, but it wouldn't surprise me if his distance covered in the week was a lot higher than with some of the other games. He really looked up for it. I mean, he's not, I don't think he's ever dipped below a kind of, you know, when I grade the players, I always think five is straight down the middle, bang average as it should be. I don't think I've ever graded him below that, maybe a four once or twice, but he's never had a shocker, so to speak. He's just sometimes he's been a bit quieter. And often with players like Ovi Ejaria, you know, the opposition know about their qualities and they will double up or even triple up. And, you know, he has no, in certain games, you know, he just has no space to do anything with the ball. And his incredible intricate footwork sometimes can't, he just doesn't have the time to really put it into practice because he is crowded out a lot. But yeah, a really promising sign, especially from him on Tuesday night.
Yeah, you mentioned Tom McIntyre earlier, and last week he was talking about the possibility of a redemption month because these are all the teams that we lost to with Coventry and Preston. Preston were playing on Sunday. Against Preston at home, he had a pretty horrible performance in that game.
Yeah.
But the way he has developed since that game shows the character of Tom McIntyre, also the ability as well. I think this is going to be a really big match for him because I think he wants to wipe that one out, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
So hopefully he will. I mean, he's been really good in the last month or so, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he really has stepped up in Liam Moore's absence. I think he's shouldered that extra responsibility really, really well at the heart of defence. He's helped by Michael Morrison, who I will continue to praise, you know, until I'm blue in the face because he's been absolutely spectacular this year. He's such a rock at the heart of that defence. But yeah, McIntyre has really stepped up. I think his athleticism is really, really impressive. His how he reacts to forward balls, he always seems to be there to close down, there to, you know, mop up the pieces. And yeah, I think probably since maybe, you know, the start of December, since Moore's injury, I think McIntyre, he might not have had the best start to the campaign. I think it is, as you alluded to, the game against Preston and a few other appearances, he was kind of a bit of a bit part player and he was coming off the bench and that might have frustrated him. But perhaps even since the goal he scored, you know, that fantastic goal like at the end of last year, he has really kicked it up a notch and he's shown what perhaps we were expecting him to be sort of at the end of last year. I think the end of last year, you thought, right, he's going to go on next year and really stamp his authority on the team and, you know, be one of the first names on the team sheet. It's not quite gone that way, but it's all the signs are now pointing in the right direction.
Yeah, totally. Great seeing a Redden fan in the team.
Yes.
Some homes. But we've talked about that a lot. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Preston. They are 19th in the home table.
Yes.
That, to me, is looking quite good as an away team. We are 6th in the away match league table. A new set.
One of those.
Yeah. But also, I'm thinking this is going to be a win for us. What are you saying, Matt?
Yeah, I think, you know, unbeaten in 10 points out of 12. You think all the signs are pointing towards a Reading win. Preston haven't had the best home form this year, but I remember when we played them last year at Deepdale, just after Christmas, I think it was, it was around that period, that I think they had the best home record in the division when we went up there. And I remember the long drive up and I was thinking, oh, this is going to be a tough afternoon. And we blew them out of the water. So whether you can look at those tables too much, I think it's a nice incentive and it's nice.
Give me home, Matt.
Oh, it's giving you a bit of comfort. And I'll always reference them as well. But, you know, they're not always ultra reliable. But I think, yeah, even if Elise, you know, in Elise's absence, I think we're starting to get the players are starting to come back from long-term injuries. I think Yeardom's playing as we speak for the under-23s. So, yeah, I think all the signs are pointing towards that, the rejuvenation and that, you know, the new period of hopefully what we saw at the start of the season. So I'll back an away win. And I think it may end up being quite similar to the Huddersfield game. So I'm going to go with the same scoreline. I think it'll be 2-1 to Reading.
Yeah, I'm going for the same scoreline as well. What I would really love to see is a Bulldog goal at some point. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but I'd love to see him come off the bench and maybe make that 3-1 instead. That one during the week, you could feel it almost in his brain, just the pressure was building.
Yeah, no, you could. Yeah. I think it was Tetek who played him in, and he sort of had maybe 30 yards to run in on goal. And I was just sitting there, you know, watching it, and I was thinking, oh, please, just please. He deserves it because, you know, he's not had the season he would have hoped to. And, you know, he's had a lot of flack on social media. And if a striker doesn't score goals, that's sort of par for the course. But you can never doubt his enthusiasm and his effort and his work rate. But, yeah, it was as soon as it gone in, you just thought, oh, you know, that's such a shame because he's not going to get a better chance than that. But you know, how good would it be if he was the match winner in an important game? I think as much as it would have been lovely to see him score the fourth and you know, against 10 men, if we saw him come off the bench and get a late goal to seal the points, I think the lift that would give everyone, because he seems like a very popular guy. You know, he's trusted with the captain's armband against Luton in the cup. He seems like a popular man amongst the players. Very, very nice guy as well. You know, always speaks really well to the press. So I'd love to see him get an important goal, not just a goal, but a really important one. That'd be great.
It would be great. We'll be back with the watch along on Saturday, so you can watch us watching the game, have a listen, come in with your interactions and comments. Also, we'll have a podcast straight after full time. So cheers for joining us, Matt.
My pleasure.
Right then, now we are joined by Josh Knowles for our look at the opposition view from Preston North End fan site from the Finney. That's quite a mouthful, saying from and then from the Finney, isn't it? Yeah. But apart from that, how are you doing, Josh?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
So you must be enjoying the fact that you picked up a win against Birmingham City the other night.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible conditions, to be fair. It was really bad pitch. We've obviously two teams playing on it, but second half we really stepped it up, played some good stuff actually. Got a very good goal, and it could have been 2 or 3, but we managed to hold on and get the 3 points. Yeah.
So now you're one win in the last three games. You think Preston are picking up from like their kind of slowest starts of the season, because they were really good away all season, but what's happening with the home form as well?
To be fair, throughout most of 2020, we was really bad at home. We started off last season, we had probably the best home record in the league. And then as soon as it hit New Year, we just kept losing and losing. And then throughout that lockdown period of last season, I think we picked up 2 wins at home, which really knocked us out of the playoffs. And then this season we started off again. We were winning every game away and just couldn't pick up a win at home. I don't know what it was. A lot of people use no fans, but I mean, it's the same for everyone. So it's not really an excuse, but that seems to have evened itself out now. So hopefully we can build on it.
What do your fans, Preston, think of your manager, Alex Neil? Because he's been there quite a long time now, hasn't he?
Yeah, recently. He's been getting a lot of stick. I think it's more frustration with the club than him, and I think naturally football fans just go straight for the manager. I've given him stick personally, but a lot of people are calling for his head every time we lose now. But then, because we're being very inconsistent at the minute, it's one win here, a loss there, it's sort of back and forth whether to have me or not. But I think for the future, he's the best we're ever gonna get at North End. We're never gonna get some amazing manager. So I think his biggest frustration is he hasn't got much of a plan B. So we either go into games, and if he's tactically outdone the manager we're playing against, it works. But if it hasn't started well, it doesn't seem to get better. It's just sort of become sort of damage limitation. It's like if it's not going right first 20 minutes, it doesn't seem to go right at all, which is frustrating. But he's still a young coach. I think he'll get better and better. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with Alex Neil, but I know a few fans aren't.
Do you think it's a lack of options, though, that maybe you've got, like a squad depth? I mean, that's something that we've definitely got at Reading. I just wondered if is it tactical things that he's not doing, or substitutions, or has he just not got the options?
Yeah, the squad's become very stale. I think we made 2 transfers in 18 months. So that's why this window, we've had to go for it. We've had to make, I think we made 4 transfers in the space of 4 days. We had to do because squad's become, it's just the same, and everyone's starting to figure us out. So he's when we played Wickham in the Cup, he played a lot of the fringe players. And after the game, when we got battered, he just said, that's why they're not playing. And I think we'll see a lot of them leave now. That's what you get about, nearly straight up. So, yeah, definitely he's got a lack of options. He's sort of got a starting 11, which is top half quality. And then he's got a bench and reserves that are pushing League One. Quality, it's poor, but hopefully we'll get a few more players in and see where we go from there.
On that point, if there's any one player you could pick from Reading FC in historical times or maybe from now, which one would you like to take from our squad possibly and play for Preston?
Definitely Lucas Yao this season. I mean, he scored for against us before for Chef Wednesday. And this season, he's just got everything on. He's fast. He can win headers. He's everything we're crying out for at the minute. We've just signed a striker, but I think it'll be a few years before he sort of reaches the form that Zhao's doing. So yeah, I think at the minute we're probably crying out for a 15 plus goal season striker. So yeah, definitely Lucas Zhao.
Yeah, he's been exceptional this season for us. Thankfully, he's not been injured quite as often. That's been his biggest issue. But if you could pick out a game against us as well that you can remember fondly against us, I would predict it's probably going to be one from this season when you beat us 3-0, maybe, Josh? Or maybe it's a different one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It was one of the first games we got to see our new striker. It was his first goal anyway for us. But the way he stretches the game, Emil Reese, is something no one for North End can do. And he was the one that won the penalty against you, which Daniel Johnson missed, which is very unusual for him. And then he got himself a goal. But yeah, it was just a complete performance, really. We managed to limit you, which we weren't expecting, but yeah, we're good.
Yeah, it was strange that being a Reading fan, because we had chances to go ahead as well. That was a really end-to-end match, and you did win 3-0, but you also had Scott Sinclair, who gives Reading fans absolute nightmares after the playoff final when he scored all those goals against us when he was at Swansea. He obviously scored again during the week against Birmingham City. He's got 8 goals this season. He's doing a fine job there, isn't he, for you?
Scott Sinclair's a weird one. We describe him, from the Finney, we've described him as a moments player. And Alex Neil actually used it as well. And what I mean by that is he goes missing for 70 minutes, does absolutely nothing. Like, he will not touch the ball once. And then he just pops up in the middle and he'll score 2 goals. And it's like, you don't know where it's coming from because he's just not touched the ball. But yeah, whenever he does get a chance, he scores. And that's something North End have not had. We've never had someone clinical since Joe Garner back in League One. So he's improved a lot, and I think he'll probably get about 15 season, which is brilliant.
Let's hope he doesn't pick out one of those moments on Saturday, Josh. That's all I can say from my point of view anyway. I don't want to see that on Sunday, actually, isn't it? But what are your kind of expectations for Preston for the rest of the season? Do you think you'll make a playoff push or maybe just miss out?
I think it matters how this window goes. We're in dire need of centre-backs. It's unclear what's going to happen with I'm not too sure if you know about the contract Red Bull situation. Basically, we have Ben Pearson, Ben Davis, Daniel Johnson and Alan Brown out of contract. Alan Brown signed on. Daniel Johnson and Ben Davis, it's sort of up in the air, and Ben Pearson said he's leaving. So if we don't keep Davis this window, we're in trouble at the back. Because Patrick Bauer's out for the season. Jordan Story's not really up to it at the minute. And then Paul Huntington is pushing on a bit now. He's still putting in good performances, but obviously we need another one. We've been linked with Sonny Bradley from Luton. I think he'd be massive for us, but whether we'll get him or not, I'm not too sure. But yeah, I think playoffs might be a bit too far for us this season. In previous years, I've said, yeah, we'll push for it. But after the start we had and sort of the disruption with all these contracts. So I think we, at the start of the season, we had something like 17, 13 players out of contract. Like, it was ridiculous. But yeah, I'd probably say around mid-table. I don't think we'll be any danger of going down, but I think playoffs might be a bit too far unless we pull off another 5 or 6 signs this window, which I can't see happening.
No, have you managed to end up with 17 players out of contract? That is quite incredible, isn't it? Because I've noticed that, and I just think there's something wrong there with the management of the club, isn't there?
Definitely. Yeah, it's that's what I mean by becoming stale. I think teams have massively figured us out. For the first sort of 5 or 6 games at Deepdale, teams would just come in, play 5 at the back against us, sit back, realise that we have absolutely nothing to create chances. And then after 40 minutes, they'd attack. And the only team that came to Deepdale and actually attacked was Coventry, and we beat them. So it's sort of, if you sit back against us and play a bit what's, you know, known as negative, you usually come away with a result from North End. But, yeah.
Okay, well, let's hope this happens for Reading. So what is your prediction going to be for Sunday's match then? How do you think it's going to go?
I've gone with 1-1. I can't see us doing the double over here. We don't do doubles very often. So, yeah, I'm just going to go with stalemate.
Okay, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Reading. You can understand that with the run that we're on and everything in our form. I'm going to go Lucas Jow, because he scored against you last season as well. I'm going to go, yeah, that's what I think it's going to be. We'll see how it goes, though. But thanks for joining us, Josh. I really appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.